The text on which the teaching is based is 1 Peter 5, 1-5. So I invite you to turn there. Grab a Bible if you haven't already. Find 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll be looking at verses 1-5. And this text is about church leadership. And there is a need, there always has been a need, but there's especially a need today for healthy church leadership. You know from your workplace, I would assume, that when the leadership is good, that's good for the business, right? That's good for the workers. It's good for the people that work there, and business goes better. When the leadership is honest, when the leadership charts a good course and cares for the people that are under them. When leadership is lacking, when there's not leadership, the organization doesn't have a sense of direction and doesn't get a lot done. When leadership is abusive or dishonest or going the wrong direction, that's bad for the people that are part of it, right? And the same is true for the church. And what we need as a church, one characteristic of a healthy church is healthy leadership. And so what we want to do today is talk about healthy church leadership. And So the text is, as I mentioned, is 1 Peter 5, verses 1-5. And let me just tell you where we're going before we get there, and then we'll kind of break down the main point. So here's the main point, that Jesus called elders to lead the church like shepherds. That's our model, a shepherd. Jesus called elders to lead the church like shepherds. And he called the church to follow. So that's the main point. And then we're going to break this down. And when we break it down, here are the four things that we're going to see. We're going to see what elders do, how elders should lead, how the church should follow, and the right attitude that everybody should have about church leadership. Those four things. What elders do, how elders should lead, how the church should follow, and the right attitude about church leadership. So let me read the text and then we'll go from there. I exhort the elders among you. Oh, let me mention this about the text. The writer of this text is the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, the guy with the big mouth, the fisherman who is always opening his mouth and putting his foot in it. And the guy who denied Jesus three times at Jesus' lowest point, you know, he ran away from his friend. But then Jesus restored him to leadership, changed his heart after Jesus rose from the dead. Peter saw Jesus alive. And Peter was transformed and he became the most important leader of the first church, the church in Jerusalem. So Peter became the most important leader of that church for the very earliest Christians. He wasn't a pope. He doesn't call himself a pope here. He calls himself an elder, a fellow elder, which is sort of a side point. But he's writing now to other churches, and he's saying, I'm an elder of my church, and I am addressing you as elders of your church. And this is what I've learned about leading God's people, that you need to lead the way that I've learned. I've learned from Jesus how to lead a church. Now you need to lead like I've led, and I'm with you on this. I'm not above you. I'm with you. I'm a fellow elder. But I still have the right to tell you what I've learned, because I'm an apostle. Okay. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. shepherd God's flock among you. Not overseen out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not out of greed for money, but eagerly. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Not like the crowns that Olympians wore, which were made out of like flowers, which would eventually rot. You'll receive an unfading crown of glory. In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is God's word. So Jesus called the elders to lead like shepherds and the church to follow. And the first thing we want to talk about is what elders do. In Acts chapter 6, this is a story of the earliest church, the church in Jerusalem. And there's a problem in the church because there are a lot of elderly ladies whose husbands have passed away, widows who don't have a means to take care of themselves. And the church says, these are our sisters, these are our mothers in Christ, we're going to take care of them. And it ended up being a lot of work. Serving meals, driving them to the doctor, changing light bulbs, doing all the things that you have to do to take care of these ladies. And the church leaders were just getting tired. The apostles, the ones who were the leaders of the church, the ones who had seen Jesus risen from the dead, who were leading this church, and they were getting exhausted. And they finally said, hey, we need to have some division of labor here. We're going to appoint some people to take care of these, to do these service ministries, so we can have time to do what we're called to do. And they appointed seven people to take care of these ladies, and they had a different role, the church apostles, and I think this is the role that becomes the role of elder. Their role was to pray and to teach God's word to the church. And then later, as you learn about the story of the early church in the book of Acts, over and over, there are terms that are used for church leaders. You find these terms in the book of Acts, and you find them in the letters that are written, different biblical authors. And so there are several terms for church leaders that are used in the Bible. One is the term elder. One is the term overseer. And there's the term pastor, and there's the term deacon. Okay? Those are the four terms used for leaders in the church: elder, overseer, pastor, and deacon. But what the Bible scholars have pretty much discerned and agreed on is those first three terms refer to the same office. Elder, overseer, pastor, that's all talking about the same job. And then there's another job called deacon. So the term elder or the term overseer, pastor, those are the men who provide spiritual oversight for the church, that pray for the church, that teach the church God's word. And then the role of deacon is the people that carry out some of the ministries of the church, like the ministry I just talked about, serving meals to people who need it, driving people to the doctor. Those are the two roles in the church. And you see the term elders used to describe church leaders over and over and over again in the New Testament. All the way through the book of Acts, you almost never find a church where they talk about that's spoken of without talking about the elders of that church. And then different New Testament writers who wrote letters to churches addressed the leaders of the church and talked about the elders of the church. You see Peter doing it here. Paul does it several times. James talks about church leaders. And so you have different biblical authors, Luke, Peter, James, Paul, all talking about church elders, and the churches were in different places, spread out geographically. And so this was a very common practice that a church would have elders. And Paul tells Titus, who is a missionary and a pastor, to go around and visit churches, and if there are churches that don't have elders there, appoint elders, because churches need elders to shepherd the flock. So we see that it's a widespread and early practice for churches to have elders. And one interesting thing is the word elders in the New Testament is always used in the plural. It doesn't say the elder of the church. It says the elders. In Greek, it's an O-I instead of an S. Episkopoi. but anyway, it has an S on it in English. Plural. It's a together thing. That a church has more than one, typically, more than one pastor slash elder slash overseer. And I don't want to get too dogmatic about this, because maybe there are situations where a local church, there's only one person qualified to lead the church. But it's a pattern in the Bible that every time you see the term elder, it's in the plural. And I think that's healthy for churches today to have more than one pastor. So in our church, we have me, I'm the paid pastor, but we have five other guys who are the volunteer pastors, and we shepherd the church together. And that's good because, you know, Pastor Nathan can really make a mess of it if he tries to do it by himself. You know, like if I try to make a decision on my own, I can wander off the rails. And I need the insight and the guidance of these other elders. And there are just too many of you people. Do you think I can really pastor all of you like you need it? You know, I mean, the six of us have trouble. And so it's healthy for a church to have more than one pastor, for the leadership not to be centralized in one dude. Because that can, when one person is calling all of the shots, that can be unbalanced for a church and unhealthy. So it's biblical to have a plurality of elders. That's the term that people that talk about this use. To have more than one elder, several elders. It's a together thing. We're doing this together. And elders need to be qualified to serve in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. Paul lists certain qualifications for elders, but what's interesting is those qualifications are not things that every Christian shouldn't aspire to. I didn't say that very clearly. What I mean is these are things that all Christians should aspire to, growing in maturity in all of these things, like sexual purity, leading your family well, being a person of integrity, being honest, being temperate in your use of alcohol. Like, these are things that all Christians should aspire to, except for one thing, is that the elders are also, they're endowed by the Holy Spirit with a teaching gift. So elders are mature Christians who are exemplary in their practice of the Christian faith and in following Jesus. And they are also gifted to be teachers because their role in the church is to teach. That's the main thing they do. So elders are pastors who lead the local church, and especially the way they do that is by teaching the church God's word. So that's what elders do, is they shepherd the church by teaching the word of God to the church and overseeing the church. Now I want to talk about how elders should lead. And if you look back to the text here, verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. He's talking about when Jesus comes back, I'm going to get some of the good things that come along with that. shepherd God's flock among you. And then he says, overseeing it, not out of compulsion, and then it has some different ways that they should lead. But what I want to draw out here is it says, you need to shepherd God's flock, and then it says, you need to exercise oversight, oversee it. So, the role of the elder here is to shepherd God's people. Now, in our world and in our culture, there are lots of models of leadership. There's the military, one model of leadership, which is very practical for the military. Because when you're at war, you want the soldiers to take commands and say, yes, sir, and get after it. You know, right away, unquestioningly. There's a military role of leadership. There's a role of leadership that we find in the business world with corporate boards and with CEOs. There's a model of leadership from politics, from government, with various political leaders and the way that they lead. There's a model of leadership that we see in the entertainment world. A lot of times entertainers are cultural influencers, right? And they lead by being provocative often and saying things that make people think. And there is a place for that. But we have a different model when it comes to church leadership. It's not the model of the military or government or entertainment or business. It's the model of shepherding sheep, taking care of sheep. That's the model that we have. And if you just think about a shepherd and what a shepherd does, for one thing, it's not glamorous work, right? It can be dirty work. Because sheep, sheep are sheep. They can be dirty. They can wander away from the flock, and you got to go grab them and haul them back. They can get hurt, and you got to bandage their wounds. They need direction. They need guidance. They need care. They need love. They need a shepherd that knows about them, and so. The model for leadership that we have of shepherding sheep, it's a picture of somebody who's involved with the people and taking care of them, who's with them. Here, now, Helmut isn't one of our official elders, but he gave a great example of how elders should lead this morning when he did the prayer requests. He knew everybody's name who raised their hand. He would call on them by name. And he knew the family members' names who he was praying for. That's biblical eldership, is to know people's names and know about their business and to be with them and teach them and lead them and care for them, to love them. That's the way that elders are called to lead. And to lead, because you need leadership, but you lead by teaching and loving and spending time with the people. Peter gives three contrasts of how elders should lead. He says, don't lead like this, do lead like this. Three different things, and I just want to mention all three of them. First of all, not out of compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. So what he's saying is, don't lead because you have to. Lead because you want to and because you're doing it for God. And so if you are called to be an elder and lead the church, don't do it just because, well, one of the people had to go off the board, they served their 8 years, and we have an empty spot, we need somebody to do it, you don't really want to do it, but I guess I'll do it, Don't do it just because you have to. You got to do it because you want to, and you do it because you're serving the Lord, because God has called you to this work. It says, don't do it out of compulsion. And then the next thing he says is not out of greed for money, but eagerly. Okay? And I think the idea is elders had some access to the church's money. And you can imagine that somebody would become an elder so that they could get their hands on some of that money and use it for their own pet projects or use it for themselves. And we always laugh when we see, it comes out in the news every now and then, like there'll be a pastor of some mega church who says he wants everybody in the church to give money for his private plane for his mission trips. And we always laugh at stuff like that. Now, most pastors I know did not get into the pastorate for the money. And your elders are not paid except for me. But you want elders to lead, not for what they get out of it for themselves, but they're leading for what you guys get out of it. And that's important, you elders. Don't do it because it makes you feel important. Don't do it for what you get out of it. Do it for what they get out of it. Because the church needs your leadership and your guidance and your care and your love, your teaching. You do it for what they get out of it. And then the third contrast, he says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples for the flock. So he's saying, elders, don't be bossy. An elder isn't supposed to be bossy. An elder is supposed to be an example. And you've all known leaders in different situations that say, do as I say, not as I do. That is a recipe for disaster in the church. When a pastor or a church leader, an elder, says, do as I say, don't do as I do. The pastor needs to be able to say, follow me as I follow Jesus. I'm doing my best to follow after Jesus and live a life of integrity before him. And so you as a church need to follow after my example as I follow Jesus' example. And I'm going to point you to Jesus' example because I'm not perfect. But the elders need to be men of integrity who lead by example and aren't bossy and manipulating people. Because the goal of transformation in the church is that our hearts, as we come together as God's people, our hearts will be changed and we want to obey Jesus. That would happen. Our hearts are transformed. We have a new heart, so we want to do what Jesus has called us to do, to live holy lives before him. And the way that leaders get the people in the church to do that is not by bossing them around, not by measuring hymn lines. That does not change hearts. You know, you transform hearts by saying, follow me as I follow Jesus. Watch me. You know, watch me live a life of integrity before the Lord and do what I do. The last thing that Peter mentions about the way the elders should lead is in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. He's saying to the elders, hey, this is thankless work often. A lot of what you do, nobody knows about. And what I think about our elders, a lot of the work that they do is work in prayer. That's a big part of what they do for you, is to pray for you. That's one of the most effective ways to lead the church, is to ask God to do something, is to pray, okay? Nobody knows that. Nobody sees them doing that. It's thankless work. It's done in the private of their own closet, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of effort. And as they do that, God works, but they don't get any credit for it. And that's the way it ought to be. And what Peter is saying to them is, but when Jesus comes back, Jesus knows what you did. And he's going to reward you. And it's going to be worth it. So you do it now, and it's not going to be glamorous. It's going to be a thankless task. But when Jesus comes back, he's going to be so proud of you, and it's all going to be worth it. You're going to get the unfading crown of glory. And, you know, part of what you get is eternal life. That's pretty good. Life with God forever, just like the rest of us. But I think also there's the idea that if you've led the church faithfully, Jesus knows it, and Jesus will make it worth it to you. I don't know exactly how that plays out on the other side, but it does. It plays out. Okay. Now, before I move on to talk about how the church should follow the elders, I want to say that many of us, I'm talking about myself here especially, many of us have not seen this model lived out in our churches. You know, I grew up in churches that they did this to some degree, but not really well. And so it's we're trying to, and I know that some of you have been part of churches, and I'm not just talking about one church. I'm talking about many of us have come from different churches, and it's even happened here at some points where the leadership wasn't healthy. And that wounded the sheep, or the sheep got wounded and no one was there to bind their wounds because the leadership wasn't doing what they ought to be doing, right? Or the leaders weren't leading by example. Maybe they were leading other ways, manipulative ways, but not by example. And I just want to say, if that's been you, I'm sorry. That it shouldn't be like that. The church should not have treated you like that. The solution to that problem is not just to abandon church. And the solution is to get back to the Word of God, right? And so we as elders, I'm one of the elders, as we are trying to seek after the Lord and lead the way that He's called us to lead, and will you pray for us as we try to do that? And will you please give Jesus another shot and pray for us that we would be to lead this way, the way that He's called us to lead, instead of the ways that we've observed in other churches and in other areas of leadership in our culture. The answer is not to say, oh, I need to lead like this business, this corporation leads, or, oh, I need to lead like this general leads his army. The answer is to say, I need to lead like a shepherd, like Jesus has called his shepherds to shepherd his sheep. And so that's the solution, is to get back to the Word of God. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, I got to do this quickly, don't I? The next thing I need to talk about is how the church should follow and follow biblical leadership. And just by the way, if elders are leading this way, it's easy to follow their leadership, right? If elders are loving their people and teaching them God's word and not trying to manipulate them, you want to follow an elder like that. You want to follow a church leader like that and be a part of that. And so it's not oppressive to follow that kind of leader. But let me read to you what Peter tells the church about following biblical leadership. In the same way, you who are younger, and he could just be talking about young people in the church, but I think what he's doing is he's sort of making a formal distinction. There are elders in the church, and then there are the rest of us who are elders. In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Submit to the elders. The word really means obey the elders. There is an idea that we get from just our culture and our environment that we live in, a mindset, an attitude towards the church that's sort of a consumer mentality, because we are consumers in so many areas of our lives, right? And we think of certain organizations as service providers. So maybe you are part of a gym, and that gym provides for you a facility where you can work out, and they might have classes, and you might choose which classes you want to be part of. So you can, they provide physical fitness services, and you take what you want. And or you go to the doctor, right? The doctor provides medical services, and your insurance pays them, or you pay them, and they dish out some medicine or give you some advice, and you take what you need. You're a consumer and they're a service provider. Or a school provides education services, right? You take your children, or if you go to a private school, you pay the money and they provide educational services. Or you can think about Walmart. You know, Walmart provides goods and services, and you're a consumer, and you go and you pay your money, and you take this and you don't take that. You might go get your oil changed, and you pay for that. And you might say, no, I'm not going to buy any perfume today. But you could if you wanted. You know, and they provide service. And I think a lot of times we take this consumer mentality and we apply it to the church. And we think, the church provides services for us, spiritual services. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to take what I need, and leave the rest, right? So maybe what I need this week is an uplifting message, so I'll take that. Or maybe what I need is a little bit of counseling, so I'll take that. But I don't need this other part. Or maybe what I need this week is just a group to be around me and help me with something, so I'll take that. And so the church provides some spiritual services, and I might pay for those services. I'll put a little money in the plate, or I'll volunteer in a certain capacity to pay back what I'm getting out of it, so it's worth it to the organization. And so you have this consumer mentality when it comes to church. That's not the mentality that we're supposed to have. What does Peter say to the people in the church? He says, obey your elders. Submit to your elders. And the idea is, I've been reconciled to God through Christ. I've also been reconciled to other people, brothers and sisters in Christ. And God has called me to be part of a local congregation. That's how I live out my faith, is being part of a local church. Not just the universal church, this nebulous idea out there, but a local church, Calvary Chapel of Canterbury. He's called me to be part of these people, to dig in with these people. God has appointed leaders over this flock, and God has called me to accept their authority and to learn what they're trying to teach me. That's what God has called me to do, to submit to their leadership. Now, I'm not saying that you obey unquestioningly everything that the leaders tell you. Peter says in another place, I have to obey God rather than men. So if I'm ever telling you something that God has not told you, you better not obey me. You better obey God, okay? He doesn't tell you to turn your brains off. But God has called you to be part of a local body with leadership and in some way see how you can fit in with the program and the direction that this church is leading you. God has called you to submit to the leadership. And the last thing that I want to mention is, what is our attitude about church leadership? What's the proper attitude? Let me read this last verse, verse 5, the second part of it. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The idea is, like, you know, you put on a coat when you go outside. He says when you go to church, the coat that you need to put on is the humble coat. You need to clothe yourselves with humility. That goes for the leaders and the people who are not the leaders. Everybody. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Humility is the oil that lubricates the engine of the church. When we say to each other, I'm not better than you. I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you are. I'm not better than you. I'm going to treat you like you're better than me. When all of us treat each other like that, then the church works right. The relationships work right. That's how we need to treat each other. And it's interesting, he says that to the leaders as well as to the people in the congregation. Clothe yourselves with humility. So, let me just finish up by reminding us of the main point. Jesus called elders to lead his people, to lead his church, the local church, like shepherds. And he called the church to follow their leadership. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this word. And I pray that to the degree we can, help us to be healthy, help us to have healthy leadership. I pray that we would follow after you in this, that we'd get back to the model that your word has laid out for us. I pray for the other churches in this area, in our nation, around the world, that you'd also do that work there too, not just here, but elsewhere. And I pray that that as your pastors, your shepherds lead our church, that we would be doing the work that you've called us to, making disciples. I pray that this would be beneficial to our church and to our town as we reach out to the people in our town. Help us to be a light for you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.